I just wanted to have a really short kind of discussion about anarchism in Israel, and maybe more specifically, like, recent anarchist movements there, specifically this group, which has garnered a lot of attention, but also just in the kind of context of, like, for me, as a Jewish person, I kind of see myself coming from a very long tradition of Jewish anarchists, which, you know, I find it really kind of heartbreaking in the sense that, you know, we've gone from, you know, turn of the century, you know, Emma Goldman's time, where Jewish communities throughout Europe and North America were very rich with, you know, anarchist thinking and anarchist writings, to where we're at today, where it doesn't seem to be the case. It seems to be the predominant ideology, or at least the loudest ideology within Jewish communities, is Zionism. So I'd kind of like to talk a little bit about that. I don't consider myself by any means, like, an expert on this. Like, I'm kind of basing a lot of this on discussions I had with anarchists in Israel, interviews I had done, and also, like, just my observations being in demonstrations that were Palestinian-led with other anarchists there. I think it's really important, you know, as anarchists or as anti-imperialists, to kind of, you know, conceive a lot of, like, what exactly is our role in looking at, like, anti-colonial struggles, which I think, you know, the Palestinian struggle for self-determination certainly is that. And I think you can take the example of, like, anarchists in Israel and, like, apply it to, you know, where anarchists are waging struggles in other places. I know there are other people in the room who've also been to Palestine, so maybe we can share experiences as well. What I find really interesting is that with anarchism in Israel, there isn't a really strong tradition of it. Now, I think that's for a lot of reasons. Israel is a very young state, 1948, and before that, I mean, there always have been Jewish communities in Palestine, but, you know, we weren't seeing, like, the biggest migrations until, you know, certainly after 1948. What I find interesting is that, you know, a lot of the most ardent Zionists were also socialists, right? And, I mean, I kind of put in the workshop description that socialism in Israel is, like, kind of this cruel experiment in a certain sense. Like, you do see a lot of traces of, like, communalism or communism throughout Israel. I think the kibbutzim movement is the most visible manifestation of that, where you have the kibbutzim are communal farms throughout Israel, but of course they're all built on stolen land. And I think it's just, you know, it kind of, again, it all just goes back to, like, this process of colonialism and displacement of the Palestinian citizens of the region. So I think for that reason that, like, that you had socialists who were speaking very in favor of Zionism, as well as, like, you know, the wealthy Jewish elite who were in a lot of ways co-opting Jews throughout the world to move to Palestine. You know, after the Holocaust had ended in World War II, I mean, there were a lot of Jewish folks who weren't really into this idea of going to Palestine, but there was a very strong movement to almost, I would say, coerce people into going. We know that there were many, many boats of Jewish refugees who tried to get into Canada who were refused during the Holocaust. So that's, I mean, that's my country's not so proud history in it. Although, like, throughout, you know, the history of the short history of Israel, we do see certain anarchist currents here and there. Like, again, a lot of anarchists at the time just really had no interest whatsoever in going to you know, this newly formed Jewish state, and kind of, I think, really saw it for what it was at the time as well. Where we did start to see like a real explosion of radical anti-Zionism and anarchism in Israel was, from what I can gather, like starting around the Six-Day War, 1967, and the subsequent occupation of the West Bank of Jordan and the Gaza Strip and the Sinai from Egypt and the Golan Heights. So you had more radical left groups forming at the time. You had Matzpen, who were a fairly significant anti-Zionist socialist group that came about at the time, but also like a new generation of anarchists who were really inspired by what was happening in Europe at the same time with, you know, Paris 1968 and the worker and student movements there. One thing in the film that I thought was really interesting is they showed like very short clips of the Israeli Black Panther movement, and that is something that I didn't even know about until very recently, but I find it's very interesting is that Israel is an extremely racist state, even for Jews. One of the things I find most frustrating is that like a lot of the times there's a tendency to think of Jews as white. And you go to Israel and you see that's obviously not the case. There are Ethiopian Jews. There's a huge population of Sephardi Jews or Jews from Arab countries. But there's just been such a racial stratification and a racial hierarchy in Israel. Like the Ashkenazi or the European white Jews, you know, had the most power. And the Israeli Black Panthers were not black. They were Arab Jews who were fighting racism, but like really inspired by the Black Panthers in the States. I'm just gonna like move through this like really, really quickly in hopes to like talk about the more recent stuff and then open it up for a discussion. So in the 80s, punk was moving into Israel, and a lot of like that was kind of inspiring a lot of anarchist groups at the time. You had the Left Bank Club, which was a club in Tel Aviv, which for quite a long time was run by an anarchist collective, which was putting on shows for bands. There's one band who I really enjoy. They're called Deir Yassin. So they're this Israeli band, but they take their name from the village of Deir Yassin, which was a Palestinian village completely obliterated. In 1948, there was one of the worst Zionist-led massacres there. So I mean, kind of the same thing in the States. Like punk kind of made this like resurgence of like, you know, rebellious anarchy, and there's still like a lot of traces of that in Israel. And then, of course, jumping ahead to the 1990s with the wave of anti-globalization that was kind of spreading throughout the world, and the movement inspired by Seattle, and that, of course, you know, was very prevalent in Israel, which prides itself as being like this kind of Western European styled capitalist country. There's one really great magazine that I would recommend to you all. It's called News from Within, and it used to be called On the Other Hand. This is published by the Alternative Information Center in Jerusalem and Beit Sahur, and what they're kind of trying to do is to try to like create the links between like the global anti-capitalist movement, but like really bring that into like a critique of Zionist displacement and the occupation. So a lot of like what I find interesting is that Israeli anarchists have been critiquing so many different things in Israel. Like, for example, there have been collectives such as the Israel Collective, the Upper Galilee Anarchist Brigade, and One Struggle, who were an anarchist animal rights group. Animal rights is like a huge thing in Israel. I'm not exactly sure why, but like they have a very powerful anarchist animal rights movement. You know, critiquing patriarchy, like a lot of militarism, many of the same things that the anarchists everywhere are critiquing. But what I find really interesting about the anarchists is that they're kind of they're calling the left on their shit, so to speak, and really pushing forward this critique that no matter what you're talking about, if you're an Israeli activist group, if you're not addressing the occupation, you have no credibility. And I think that that's interesting now, because you can see that, like, one group I find really interesting is this group called Green Action, who are an Israeli environmentalist group. But more recently, they started really focusing on environmental racism and, like, looking at, okay, well, you know, the occupation is just giving us easy ways to, like, move all our deadly, disgusting factories onto Palestinian territory and, you know, shifting the brunt of eco-destruction towards the Palestinians. So we could really say, by the end of the 1990s, there was, like, a very strong and healthy anarchist movement in Israel. And then what's really interesting is that I think the way that the outbreak of the Second Intifada has shaped this, because the Second Intifada started September 2000, and there was kind of a split, people have described, in the left at the time. And basically what happened is, because the Second Intifada was much more violent than the First Intifada, like, the First Intifada we know is, like, the, you know, Palestinians employing predominantly nonviolent methods of resistance, like rock throwing, general strikes, you know, nonviolent blockades and stuff. And then prior to the Second Intifada, you know, kind of an upping of the ante. So everything from, you know, armed resistance to blowing up buses in Jerusalem. Yeah, so there's an interesting split where, like, a lot of the left actually became much more Zionist. Like, there was, like, a push towards the right to say, you know, what the fuck, we tried Oslo, we tried peace. Peace didn't work. The Palestinians don't want peace. So we're not going to try that anymore. We want two states, them there, us here, and that'll be the end of it. And then also, like, a part of the left that was extremely radicalized by the Second Intifada, at the same time saying, you know, how is it that our government has been able to give this illusion of peace, and that we're trying to work with the Palestinians, where we're really not offering them any sort of substantive justice. So for example, one thing I find really interesting is that you have this group, Black Laundry, who are a radical queer group based out of Tel Aviv, who in the Pride Parade, right after the Intifada started, marched under the banner "No Pride in the Occupation." And they've been, like, really instrumental. There's a lot of great anarchists who work in Black Laundry in bringing, like, an anti-Zionist focus to queer movements, and which is, like, again, it's a really touchy subject, because I think the anarchists are trying to, like, underline this kind of, like, common struggle idea, which is difficult when you're working in communities, like Muslim communities, you know, that aren't open to you know, trans folks coming in, and you know, that are very homophobic, but nonetheless, like, at least trying to address that in queer Israeli communities, which I find really interesting. And then moving on to the fall of 2001, that was when the ISM, the International Solidarity Movement, came about. The ISM, I like to describe as an anarchist influence group. It's definitely not an anarchist group, but you can even see in the language that it employs, like, it's very, well, it claims to have a non-hierarchical structure, but at least, like, you have that being tested. It works based out of affinity groups, so kind of people going off into different parts of the West Bank and employing methods of direct action. So the ISM was, like, a really interesting birth between Palestinian grassroots groups, Israeli activists, a lot of anarchists and internationals coming together to create like a real international grassroots movement. There's actually a really interesting article in the book Live from Palestine, which is it's on Southend Press. Yeah, and there's one article in there where it's someone writing, which I like. He's comparing the international delegations that are going to Palestine now to the international brigades that were going to Spain during the Spanish Civil War. So I mean, you can certainly find a lot of differences, but I think it's like it's an interesting thing. Like as anarchists, like I think we need to be internationalists too, and like see our struggle as going beyond borders, and find the ISM does that in a really interesting way. Moving ahead another couple of years, the apartheid wall is, I mean, that's what this film was focusing on. It was started to be built in 2003, I believe, or maybe late 2002.
Late 2002.
I mean, we could go on and on about this, but like, it's just, it's really fucked up. It's a shitty thing. And, but what is done is that, they mention, Mascha in there, and Mascha is, it's a village in the West Bank. It's a Palestinian village. And what happened in Mascha was Mascha was like one of the first villages that was not only going to be badly affected by the wall, but also called for internationals and Israelis to come to build a peace camp. What happened was a peace camp went up in Mascha for 5 months, where they were trying to actually stop the construction of the wall. And I think that was a really formative time for Israeli anarchists, because there were a lot of younger like punks, queers, anti-authoritarians from Tel Aviv and Jerusalem who were going out every single day to this Palestinian village and meeting and interacting with people. And I think that's such an important process in terms of like Israel is, and Palestine are so funny because like the geographically so close, but like the mental distance between the two is enormous, you know. I was on this birthright trip, which is a disgusting thing in and of itself. It's birthright gives free tours of Israel to young Jewish people, based on that whole thing that if you're Jewish, you have the right to go to Israel. But if you're Palestinian, well, fuck you. But like I remember being in Jerusalem and seeing a road sign for Ramallah 20 minutes and thinking to myself, like, wow, are Jerusalem and Ramallah like actually 20 minutes away? And I found that fascinating because like especially here in North America, the mental space is so far. And for Israelis to be going and working alongside Palestinians, you're creating that not only that physical solidarity, but also bridging that that mental divide and showing up and saying, I'm Israeli, my state has done horrible things to your people, but here I am, like I'm coming, I'm braving being out here when all the Israeli media is saying you're terrorists and it's too dangerous to go to the West Bank. And so that was a really important thing to kind of forge alliances between Israeli radicals, Israeli anarchists, and the Palestinians. And then from the Mascha camp, that group Anarchists Against the Wall really born. Before that, they'd just been kind of like ad hoc different groups. They used to be called Jews Against Ghettos or Anarchists Against Ghettos or the Mascha group. Through doing continual direct actions against the wall, formed the Anarchists Against the Wall. And actually that incident you saw that day in December 2003 where Gil was shot, that really, I think, shook people's consciousness. And I was speaking with anarchists, Israeli anarchists, who I think for a lot of them, that was the day where they actually realized that like the state was their enemy, that, wow, like, our army, who's supposedly there to protect us, will open fire on us because we are challenging Israeli apartheid, like we are challenging our own state. So I think it was a real shock for people, and also at the same time it was a real solidifying thing. Like on that day they say, like, we decide to stick with that name, Anarchists Against the Wall. And it really kind of clearly defined, like, okay, like, here are politics. The Israeli state is our enemy, and we can't think of them as our protectors anymore. So, yeah, just, like, a couple quick things on, like, their analysis I find to be really interesting because, you know, obviously being anarchists, they are rejecting the Israeli state, but also the Palestinian state, which I think is really important too. Like we don't tend to talk about that enough within, well, especially like, you know, the moderate left-wing groups never address the problems with the Palestinian Authority. You know, I was in one village called Saida when they were under curfew, and they had called Fatah, who are a political party who had the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank, or in Gaza in the West Bank. They called Fatah to try to send in help, and the response they got back was that, and this is right after the elections where Mahmoud Abbas was elected, Fatah said, "No, no, no, you didn't vote for us. Sorry, you're not getting any help." Mm-hmm. And just like really, really horrible things like that, where it's like clear that the Palestinian Authority is not there to aid Palestinian resistance, but they're there to form a government when the Palestinians get a state. So I think the anarchists have also a very clear rejection of the Palestinian Authority that other more mainstream peace groups like Gush Shalom don't share that analysis. Like Gush Shalom will frequently meet with the Palestinian Authority, and they also support a two-state solution. I think that's another really key thing that you know, anarchists and anti-authoritarians have to push through. That you know, we are moving, I'd say, gradually towards a two-state solution, or I don't want to call it a solution, but two states, right? Like Israel and then Palestine in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. This is especially evident after the so-called Gaza disengagement, but where, like, it's clear that soon we will have that. And that obviously just doesn't get to the root of, like, so much of the oppression that we see right now in Palestine. It doesn't address the right of return. It doesn't address Palestinians who have Israeli citizenship who are extremely oppressed in Israel. So I think there's a really solid anarchist critique of that, but also of, you know, being sensitive to Palestinian self-determination. So when they go into villages and when they go into demonstrations as an anarchist group, they're not trying to necessarily convert people towards anarchism. You know, they recognize that Islamic Jihad and Hamas are important parts of the Palestinian struggle. And, like, I think you can, like, they're trying to work with this balance of being critical of, you know, the role of women in Palestine, to be critical of religious fundamentalism, but really bringing the struggle down to a basic thing of human dignity, self-determination, and supporting grassroots resistance in Palestine. And there's so much of that also at the same time too, like in Bilin, which is a small village close to Ramallah. I was at some of the first demonstrations against the wall in Bilin last February. I mean, they're having almost all of their land cut off by the wall. And there's a popular resistance committee in Bilin who's been organizing demonstrations to go out and to confront the army. At first it was on a near daily basis, and now it's a weekly thing. But I think that type of resistance that's grassroots and not institutional, not authoritarian, really needs to be nurtured and supported in Palestine. So I think that, and there's another author, she's British, Eva Jasovich, I think is how you pronounce her name, but she's a journalist who's written a lot about the conflict, and she's traveled many times there. Who's written actually quite a fair amount on the Israeli anarchists, as being kind of like somewhat of our invitation into struggle in a certain sense, that the Palestinian struggle is just that, it's the Palestinian struggle. And I think that if we go to Palestine as internationals or Israelis and try to reappropriate that, that's a real problem. You can see people doing that. Like, I mean, there are people who I worked with in the ISM who just had these ideas of being the saviors for Palestinians, and like, don't worry, we'll help you out. We're here. We're the internationals. We know what to do. And I think there's a really solid analysis that, like, we will support your struggle, and like, we'll be there, and we'll participate in direct actions with you, but we respect your decisions and your self-determination as such. So I just kind of wanted to leave it at that. I mean, I think that it's important for anarchists to be looking at Palestine solidarity work, because it's a crucial, crucial struggle, and will continue to be for the next while. So yeah, I'll leave it there, and then if there's discussion or questions, that'd be great. Thank you all for coming.